Welcome to episode one of Message from Mom, where we're breaking down the myth that daughters-in-law don't get along with their mothers-in-law. And I'm joined by my lovely co-host. To the left of me is my daughter-in-law, Kelly.
Hi, my name is Kelly. I'm married to Alex, Beth's oldest, and we've been married for going on 5 years.
And my newest daughter-in-law, Chelsea, to my right.
Hi, I'm Chelsea. I have been married to Andrew, Beth's middle son, for, oh my gosh.
How many weeks?
Like 3 weeks. We got married on New Year's Eve. So I don't know. What are we? I think we're at 3 weeks now, maybe. It's going well.
There you go.
Okay, so we're kicking it off. So really, this is just all about family and family relationships, and that you don't necessarily have to be blood relatives to love your relatives. So cheers to family, ladies.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And today's episode is all about romance, because Valentine's Day is just around the corner. So no matter if you love Valentine's Day, you hate Valentine's Day, or you're somewhere in between, you do have an opinion about Valentine's Day. So what do we have, ladies?
Oh, gosh. Well, when it comes to romance and Valentine's Day, at least so prior to married life, and obviously we haven't gotten to our married Valentine's Day this year, but Andrew is not really all that big on Valentine's Day. He feels like it's very commercial. And so I'm curious if, did you and Max celebrate Valentine's Day?
Well, Kelly, what are Alex's positions on Valentine's Day? Because I think they might come by this honestly from, you know, from their father. But
yeah.
Kelly, what are AJ's? I do call him AJ. So we really are talking about the same person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex's feelings on Valentine's Day, I think if hard pressed, he would say that he felt it was very commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I do think that he enjoys what we do for Valentine's Day, which isn't going out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
We cook dinner at home together, and which is a tradition that you started, by the way. So we can get into that a little bit more later. But I do think, though, that he may not hate it as much as Andrew, but we certainly don't go out of our way to celebrate it. So,
well, when I say coming by it honestly, so my late husband, Mac, and the boy's father, he was in the hospitality industry. So there were two events every year that were very, very big in hotels, and that was New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day. So I really understood from an early, from the get-go, that we were not going to go out and celebrate, which was honestly really fine with me, because I'm not really big on going out for New Year's Eve. I think New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day can get so blown out of proportion about expectations and the big party or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was always very happy to, you know, take a backseat to all of that. But I will say this. So, when we talk about romance, and I think sometimes we have those expectations of what our spouses should be doing. And I have a prime example. This isn't really related to Valentine's Day, but I had a really dear friend years ago, and her biggest wish in the entire world was to come home one day. She just had this expectation that her husband had decorated the outside of the house with the most amazing Christmas lights and, just the spectacle. Mm-hmm. But that was not going to happen, unless he hired it.
Yeah.
But she had this expectation every year. She was like hoping that it would happen.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen.
Oh, no.
So I do think that it's really important when it does come to like Valentine's Day or your traditions, and especially if you're just starting off, I think having those traditions or talking about it, I think is really, really helpful. I really, really do.
Well, even just like, I feel like personally, and kind of not even which is Valentine's Day, but Andrew, he's not a big Valentine's Day person, but in everyday life, we'll go on maybe two dates a week. He'll take me to dinner. It's not that he's like buying me flowers, but we'll go to dinner. And I think he's really big when it comes, like when I'm giving him romantic gestures, he's really big on acts of service. Mm-hmm. I don't know if was Mac big on acts of service?
Absolutely. And so I do know that they had that example growing up, because I used to tease Mac because it would be like, sexy is as sexy does. So perhaps he wasn't coming with the flowers or the candy or things like that, but that man, boy, could you count on him. I mean, so, and I have in my head, one of the most sweetest moments was when the boys were little and it was pouring rain. We're at church, mm-hmm. You know, he didn't want us to be walking out, you know, so he runs out in the rain. He's the one that gets drenched. He's mm-hmm. the one that hops in the car. And then, you know, he brings the car up as close to us as possible.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to be inconvenienced. Yeah. And then that's just, you know, who Mac was. And honestly, and right before he passed away, and I'll never forget. So we were out on a photo shoot because he helped me start the blog and did the photos. And he, you know, went into Starbucks and is, you know, bringing the coffee, you know, out to the car. I mean, that's just who he was. So it's just always those small little, mm-hmm.
yeah,
as you said, acts of services. That's just who he was. So,
yeah.
So yes, perhaps I didn't get the flowers, but he did. But I will say this. He always was really sweet. I always had a card for Valentine's Day. He always had like a little box of candy or maybe it was a cookie. I remember what was that cookie in the mom? Mrs. Fields.
Mrs. Fields.
I loved Mrs. Fields.
Oh, yeah.
Cookies, chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm. And so he would do something very, very sweet like that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's really important, especially when you're starting out with your married life, to talk about it. So you're not disappointed. So you're not hoping, like my friend was hoping,
yeah,
for Christmas.
Yeah.
The Christmas lights would be up.
Yeah.
And then she's devastated. Because I think expectations can kind of,
yeah, being on the same page about those types of things is definitely important. And whether or not you just instinctually are together and you know that,
mm-hmm.
or you have to talk about it, it is important to be on the same page so mm-hmm. that no one feels, mm-hmm. you know, left out. Mm-hmm. Alex is not that romantic of a person. Mm-hmm. And I totally see where he gets the acts of service mm-hmm. thing from. Obviously, now we know Andrew mm-hmm. is the same, but I think Alex has a thoughtfulness to him that is way more romantic than any form of traditional romance. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is he's very, when it comes to gift giving or something, it may not be an expensive gift or an over the top sort of gift or lavish or anything, but it's super, super thoughtful. And mm-hmm. I think that really tells me that he listens to me, which is super important in marriage,
mm-hmm.
That he knows who I am and what I like and just how I am as a person. And that to me is way more romantic, mm-hmm. And personal than mm-hmm. any card, yeah. or, mm-hmm. you know, any bouquet of flowers or anything like that. So I don't miss getting flowers and I don't feel like I, you know, miss any of those romantic gestures, mm-hmm. actually, mm-hmm. because when he does come through in a way like that, whether it's an act of service or mm-hmm. It's a very thoughtful gesture or gift, mm-hmm. it's totally satisfying
mm-hmm.
in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, I feel the same way. I mean, I feel like my love language and how I like to be loved is words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taken me some getting used to. And even because I know that Andrew's is acts of service, and I also know that that's how he likes to love and that's how he, you know, likes to be loved. But so that's taken some getting used to. But I will say Andrew does a really good job of words of affirmation for me because he knows that I like that. And I mean, the man probably says, I love you like 50 million times a day.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, I feel like it's important to, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like obviously, yeah. I know that he loves me, but it's good to hear it. So yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For sure. So I have a question actually mm-hmm. going back to actually celebrating Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And since you and Mac didn't necessarily celebrate on Valentine's Day proper,
mm-hmm.
Was there any experience other than the rainstorm experience mm-hmm. where maybe he did take you aback by some romantic gesture or something that maybe came out of nowhere and you weren't expecting it and
mm-hmm.
and it really made your heart swell?
Mm-hmm. Well, when the boys were little, and it was probably one of the most thoughtful gifts that he ever gave me, and they were probably, I think Christian was probably like 4, so AJ would have been 11, and then Andrew was 8 or 7 in between. But anyway, so they were young. And as a young mom, you are very, very tired. I mean, you're just mm-hmm. harried because you're just, and especially when you have 3 and you're going this direction in school and schedules and all of that. So he surprised me for Valentine's Day. And so he purchased one of those days out at the spa.
Oh,
especially yeah. for moms.
That's really
that
nice.
Was so, and I was so surprised and so mm-hmm. taken aback. And that was at a time when I really wasn't going to spas that often. I mean, I would go off, I mean, a manicure and a pedicure once a month was like a big treat. So it yeah. wasn't like, mm-hmm. I was, you know, head to, I mean, now, I mean, it's nothing. I go have a facial, I'll go have a massage. I mean, I've really learned that these things are important, but that was a big deal. And yeah. It was a day where, so it was a whole day at the spa and I had lunch and I was just so pampered and I was just so thoughtful.
And it was just a day for you.
A day for me. Yeah, and then and obviously then he was home with the boys. So
yeah,
that's very
yeah.
sweet.
And no, that's super sweet. I think there's one moment where I think that Andrew like had a really romantic gesture, and it was when we first moved in together. In our townhouse that we were renting. Mm-hmm. And it was on the day that we moved in, he had bought me these pearl earrings that I still wear all the time. Mm-hmm. And he gave it as a gift when we moved in, which I thought was really sweet.
That is really sweet.
I didn't even know that.
I know. Well, you know, he was planning on doing that when he proposed, because uh-huh. we had bought the house a year later. Uh-huh. And he was going to propose on the same day that we moved in. And then we ended up, you know, having a few drinks downtown, and he just proposed at the townhouse, so it didn't yeah. happen that way. But
yeah. That's pretty sweet.
Well, I love the pearls because, that pearls mean a lot to me because my parents gave me pearl earrings. I think when I was 16, mm-hmm. no, they gave me a pearl ring. I think I had diamond earrings. No, never mind. Didn't get the pearl earrings. It was the diamond earrings when I was 21. So, but pearls mean a lot to yeah. me, and the boys know that. Mm-hmm. And so that really touches me, because that's something that he actually did see and learn.
Yeah.
He knew that pearls were very, very, very big
yeah.
in my world. So yeah. that's really sweet that he passed that on to you.
That is sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I think it wasn't a Valentine's gift, but I think one of the coolest gifts Alex got for me when we moved to Athens, he bought me a telescope, which he knows that I'm so fascinated with, with the sky,
yes,
and the stars. Uh-huh. And so he bought me this very nice telescope. And I hate to say though that we can't ever really use it because we have so many trees.
Right.
It's the thought that counts.
But I actually, it is portable enough that we could take it to, you know.
I was going to say you could take it to Tybee.
Yeah.
Take it to Tybee.
You honestly should take it to Tybee.
I think we will in the summer when, mm-hmm. when we go. But it's just not something when we take the dogs with us that I ever really managed to right. remember. But it, right. that was an incredibly thoughtful, mm-hmm. thoughtful gift. So, yes. yeah.
So romance comes in many, many forms. And
it does.
And also, too, I think that Valentine's Day is a day to think about everyone in mm-hmm. your mm-hmm. family, because my mom always would send me a little card or a little note, or always made the effort, even when I was a grown woman. And that always was very, very special mm-hmm. to me. It just really, yeah. really was.
I think parents probably instill that Valentine's Day tradition and idea in kids when they're young, not only because if kids are going to school, mm-hmm. You know, you set up your little your Valentine's mailbox on your desk.
I always did.
And I think parents are always really good at mm-hmm. then, you know, having some sort of Valentine's Day, something for their children. Mm-hmm. But it is funny how we tend to grow out of that, I think, mm-hmm. as we get older. Mm-hmm. Some do, some don't, I'm sure. But I think we've all come to an agreement that we all have, basically, mm-hmm. Kind of grown out of that idea so much and rely on romance in other ways.
Right.
But yeah, I think that right. parental tradition of, my mom was always really good about that. We would yeah. always get a cute basket with, mm-hmm. you know, the conversation hearts. I love things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. You do.
Yeah. My mom did that too. And I don't get anything for Valentine's Day from my mom anymore, but I will say she still gives me an Easter basket, which is
sweet.
Yeah, yeah. She'll still bring that.
That's well,
very thoughtful.
As it comes to parents and mothers, giving their kids, Valentine's Day gifts, mm-hmm. Beth, you started a tradition when Alex and I got together. So it's been like 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we were living in California mm-hmm. and you sent us a Omaha steak box, mm-hmm. The surf and turf. Mm-hmm. So it had two steaks and two lobster tails mm-hmm. and dessert mm-hmm. and sides and things. And you've done that every year since. And so that's kind of become our mm-hmm. Valentine's Day tradition, thanks to you. And I think that that's a really mm-hmm. kind of going back to parents, instilling that idea of just reminding people how much you love them.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. On a special day.
Absolutely. And yes, and Omaha Steaks. Well, I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. So it's a company that I love, and mm-hmm. I will love a good steak. And I think all of us will love a good steak until the day we're no longer here. And true. So I think that that's just a fun gift to send, because then you can actually, you don't have to worry about making reservations. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it. Cause I mean, as we just briefly touched on, I think Valentine's Day, going out, I can't, I just personally mm-hmm. can't think
well, it's impossible to get, I mean, you have to plan so far ahead, and I honestly, I can't, I don't plan like that. So,
I mean, I also just don't think that, because, you know, we'll go out to dinner for a date night, but I think that you can easily do a date night at home. Mm-hmm. Just because you're at home doesn't mean that it's not necessarily a date night.
Well, I think the nice thing about gifting a box of food, whatever it is, that's so cool, is that you can save it for whatever day works for you. So it doesn't have to be mm-hmm, on Valentine's Day. But if it is, you can turn it into this really, you know, nice evening experience where you're cooking together and you're kind of sharing in the responsibilities and the duties of, you know, making dinner, and then you get to sit down and enjoy it. And if someone else bought it for you and you're not footing the bill, then it's, you know,
all the better, right?
Exactly.
Enjoying the gift, you know? And so that's, I think it's nice. I actually sent my dad and his wife an Omaha Surf and Turf, I think it was a certain box.
I don't know. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great gift.
My gosh,
he
got it, and he called me and he said, "This is the best Christmas gift I've ever."
Yeah.
Gotten. You know, he's like, "I know what I'm eating for Christmas dinner now." You know, so it was really. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right.
They're one of my go-to companies. Yeah. Really. Not only because I grew up there and familiar with the company, but the shipping, they ship like boom, mm-hmm. and it really is. I think food and love go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Really do.
For sure.
I really do.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm very big on, and we've had conversations about this, but dinners and family dinners, mm-hmm. and because it really is that time when you get to come together and really, you know, just share your lives. And well, I think that that's kind of a lost art.
It is. And when it comes to marriage, I know that carving time out for date nights is, you know, one of the most important things that you can do for the longevity and happiness of both partners. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you think about date nights, it's typically food related in some way or another, mm-hmm. whether it's going out for appetizers or dinner, or going out like you and Mackie said, you just to get a piece of pie.
Right. Yeah.
You know, carving that time out is really important. And I think ultimately, like if we need a day on the calendar, that Hallmark makes a lot of money from, you know, I think that's fine. Like I don't mind those little things. And I do think that in this day and age, isn't every single day commemorating something, whether it's National Hot Dog Day
it
is, yeah.
Every day is National Lipstick Day. Something. It's National
There's always
National Love Day, you know?
Yeah.
It makes sense.
There's always something to celebrate. Well, I did want to ask you, so do you think that the romance, like pre-marriage, post-marriage, was that different, or did it remain the same? Like, was Mac the same? Was he more romantic when he was more so courting you?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good question, because he was so cute. I mean, I wouldn't go out with him for like 2 years. I mean, he would. I mean, the talk about patience and talk about perseverance. But he was never like creepy about, you know how some guys are. Can be like creepy about, you know, continuing to ask you out. But he was just like, if I said no, it's like just, you know, water off his back, and you know, he would just kept coming up to bat. So that was really, really cute, the whole courting process. And then when I finally did say yes, and I think he was just like, you know, it's like, yes, you know, finally. So that was a very, very sweet, and I think every courtship is just very, very sweet when you're first getting to know each other. And you just have, you know, all the, you know, the chemistry and the feels and, you know, all of that is going on. And then, you know, when you get, well, Chelsea, you just got married, so you know how stressful it can be when you're leading up to the big day. It can be.
Yeah.
So then you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, I just want to get this, let's get this show on the road. I remember thinking that I just want to be Sadie married lady.
Yeah.
Because my wedding was actually more for my parents than it was, you know, it was for me. But anyway, that's a whole different story. But then, you know, just watching our relationship evolve through the years, because we were married 35 years before he passed away. So we had quite a few years in there.
Yeah.
And I think it just grows sweeter as time goes on. But I will share this. you really do, you have to work on it. I mean, you are going to have times in your life. I mean, marriage isn't 50-50. There's no such thing as 50-50. You're lucky sometimes if it's 50-50, sometimes it's 80-20, sometimes it's 20-80, you know, sometimes it's 100-0, depending on what you have going on in your life and all the, you know, because life has peaks and valleys and trials and tribulations. But through it all, I just know that we both were very conscious of always working on it, but then not always, you know, I mean, I'm doing the air quotes. It's not just necessarily work, but you have got to carve out time for each other. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do that, if you don't prioritize yourself, your relationship, you don't have anything to bring to your family. I mean, we had, you know, three sons to raise. So we were very conscious of that, that you really do have to, you have to keep romance alive, and you do have to, you have to be also working on yourself, bringing the best version of you to your married life. So then you have a very strong, if there's a strong me, then there's a strong we, and then that's going to trickle down to your family. And then you don't wake up one day. I mean, because now I'm back out in the dating world, and I've seen this many times. People that have been married 30, 40 years, and then they basically almost wake up one day and it's like, well, no, we're not, you know, we're not doing this anymore. But I think a lot of it, I mean, the breakdown is well before the divorce comes into play. But so my advice and what worked for my relationship was always keeping us a priority. So that was date night. And I was just sharing with Kelly. So maybe it was just getting a piece of pie. I mean, Mac had a huge sweet tooth. He grew up in Vienna, Austria, and was always, I mean, loved pastries. Boy, did that man love pastries. So
that's where Andrew gets it from.
So even if it was, you know, a piece of pie and a cup of coffee, a movie, dinner is really easy, you know, to the big, you know, to the big vacations and things like that. But you really do, you have to prioritize your relationship. You really do.
Yeah. Well, I talk about this with Andrew a lot, because if we do have kids, you know, if and when, I see a lot of, you know, just people in my life that maybe have kids, and I feel like they're, marriage kind of takes a step back, like you said, and it becomes all about the kids. And I think there is a time and a place, because obviously you are taking care of children and you're raising children. But at the same time, I just kind of look at some people and I'm like, what are they going to do when their kid graduates from high school and goes to college? And then you look at your husband and you say, do I even know this person anymore?
Right, exactly. So far apart.
And that just happens. As I said,
It happens more
back in the dating world. And that's what I see, because most of the men that I have gone on dates with have been divorced. And that's exactly what happens. Or then somebody goes and has the affair, or somebody. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can put into the scenario, but. And I did have that conversation once with somebody that I was dating, and it was like, he was saying that so many people, they just lose themselves. And I'm like, you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to lose yourself. A, you don't have to lose yourself, and B, you don't have to lose a relationship, but it does have to be a priority. And the kids, I mean, of course, I mean, your kids, that brings on a whole different dimension, but if you're prioritizing your relationship, your children are going to be all the better for it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really going to learn a lot of good from that. Definitely. You mentioned something a little bit ago that I think is really interesting. And it is the idea that marriage is not 50-50. I think we've grown up with this idea that it is and that it has to be. And if it's not, then something's wrong. Because I think I know I've had past relationships where it's been the case where, I make more money than him, or he makes more money than me. So our contribution to the household, if we were living together, was off balance. And I do think that I can remember clearly being in arguments about that very thing, where the contribution is uneven. And it can be the detriment to, you know, being able to grow together and to actually forge a life together if you're always expecting the other person to pull a certain amount of weight. And it doesn't leave any room for conquering those trials and tribulations that you run into when, say, a spouse loses their job, or let's say they get hurt or something and they can't work, or, you know, there's a lot of
things. Up resentment.
It absolutely
to
does.
Each person. I mean, this is something that me and Andrew talk about all the time. And I think I saw it actually on, I don't even remember what podcast, but someone was talking about it. And it was that, like you said, it's not always 50-50, but maybe one day, you know, like if we're having an argument, maybe he's at a 20 one day. Well, then that means that day I need to be at an 80.
Yeah.
And if I can't be at an 80 and we're both at 20s, then that's where we look at each other and we say, okay, we're both at 20s. So now we're only equaling 40.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine. But we need to know that moving forward for the rest of our day, because if we're only going to be at 40, we can't just, you know, hound each other the rest of the day. Maybe we need to like have our time apart, or, you know, have a moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's important.
Mm-hmm. And I also think too, and I'm not even really sure, but because I actually had a very traditional relationship with Mac, very traditional in the regards that I stayed home. So I stayed home, I took care of the children, you know, so he went off, basically, and, you know, fought the dragons and, you know, came back and I kept the castle, so to speak. So very traditional roles, but I also never felt, and because I can remember going to like dinner parties and, you know, because with my generation, the working woman was, that's what everyone wanted to be. So I was more of not the norm at that point, whereas my mother's generation, everybody was staying home. So my generation, most of us were going out to work. So, and so going to dinner parties, and then not people, but women, the working women, you stay home, so you don't really have a valuable job. And
sometimes that's the harder job, is the staying home.
It really is.
Especially with three boys. It really
is. You don't get to run away from your children.
Sometimes
you really want to do.
I have a good friend that she, her first pregnancy, she got pregnant with twins and had twins. And I mean, she went from 0 to 2. And she kept, you know, doing real estate and working while taking care of the kids. Well, she finally was like, we have to get a nanny, because she was like, I need a moment to myself. And like, I feel like sometimes the staying home, and especially if you don't have a nanny, like that can take a toll. Well, I'm sure like mentally too, because you're just at home with the kids all day.
Definitely.
You know,
want to talk to adults.
You want to talk to an adult.
You do want to talk to adults. But there again, it goes back to, so then that's what you have to really realize. And when people would say that to me, I'm like, it's a very, very important job. I mean, I really was of that era that if you didn't raise your children well, you didn't really do anything in life.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to have a family. We chose to have a family. So they were a priority. Going back to, but it was always our relationship that was very important. But then, you know, going back to me being important. So in the whole scheme of things, can you have it all? Yes, but you can't have it all at the same time.
I'm a
very big proponent of that. And so that goes back to 50-50. Mm-hmm. It's really not a 50. I don't know whoever came up with that, but it's really not 50-50.
Yeah.
Relationships really aren't. And if you take that out of the equation, and even like take a look at like your friend realized she needed to hire a nanny.
Yeah.
That was if that's a solution, if what you need can be solved economically or just with money, or, you know, hiring somebody like to come clean the house. That was, you know, one of the things that Mac helped me out with.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's have somebody, you know, come clean the house, because he was, you know, huge neatkin.
Oh my gosh. Andrew's the exact same.
So it really, you know, so it was a win-win. But yes. But I do think that when we are just taking a look at, yes, you need to be, you know, you need to be bringing in this much money, or you need to be, you know, spending this much time, you know, doing X, Y, and Z. I think that's when you do take romance out of your relationship, and then it just becomes more
a partnership rather than, or like a, almost like a roommate situation.
Yeah. Right? More
you become roommates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not even a partnership, but just we live together. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think you do have to be careful about that.
Yeah.
I really, really do. And and so then that really is putting the other person before you.
Mm-hmm.
Which mm-hmm. some people I think have a hard time with that because mm-hmm. they think that they're not putting enough time into themselves.
Right.
But anyway, but romance definitely is very, very important. You can't just always take a look at it that it's 50-50. You can't always, and you can't always have it all at the same time.
Yeah.
I think that's important to remember. You can't always have it all at the same, time.
You can have it all.
Yeah.
But most likely.
But just be patient because it's not all going to be at the same time.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah. And I mean, I think even, you know, if me and Andrew have kids and, you know, if we have more than one kid, there might come a point in time where I have to step back from, you know, more career stuff and take care of the kids, you know. And but I think I would be fine with that because you can always go back to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think too, you know, even with you raising the three boys, there's only that allotted time that they're young and at that age, you know, that you can spend time with them.
Right.
Exactly. And it goes by very quickly. And I can remember, and you think that these people are absolutely insane when they say it to you, but how quickly the time does go by.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because some days seem like they last for years. They really are very long days. But in the whole scheme of things, I mean, Alex is 39,
mm-hmm.
Andrew's 35, and Chris is 32. And I'm like, hello?
Where did the time go?
How did that happen?
Yeah.
So I've always been... always felt very blessed that I was able to stay home and take care of them.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, too, we moved so often. I mean, that would have just been a recipe for disaster. Trying to keep up with a career for me and B, you know, creating somewhat of a normal life for the boys.
Yeah.
You know, when we were on the so often. So
That would be, I can't even imagine how that would work at all. Really?
No.
Really. But I think if we kind of go back to just Valentine's Day in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's funny how conversations ebb and flow.
Well, I think the whole goal of this conversation today was Valentine's Day was the impetus to talk about relationships, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we kind of go back to that idea and circle back to where we started, I do think that you and Max set an incredible example for all three of your sons. And while I can only speak to the internal life of one of them, I will say that, you know, a lot of his strongest parts have clearly come from what he's learned at home. And I think that even if we didn't have as close of a relationship as we do, I think that would still be evident in the way that he is as a man. So I have to say thank you for teaching him well.
Yes, I mean, I agree. I feel like Andrew is a very caring and romantic person in his own way, whether or not he agrees with Valentine's Day. But for me, I'm an only child and an only grandchild. So an only. And I come from divorced parents. And so, you know, I never really got to see necessarily a healthy relationship growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of crazy to me that I married someone that, you know, his parents were married for so long, because that's almost unheard of, you know, now. But I think that was one of the biggest and most important things to me when we were getting to know each other, that he did have that foundation and he grew up in an environment like that. Because to me, in moving forward in my relationship with him, I knew that that was important to him.
Yeah.
And I knew that he was going to value that, you know. So not to say that, you know, people that come from divorced families don't value that, because they definitely can. It's just, I think it's a little bit harder to, you know, take on that situation.
You haven't had it modeled at home.
Exactly.
So you really do have to step outside of the box.
Exactly.
And make those changes in your life.
Yeah.
Where that's one of your goals.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's really interesting because... And I don't want to go like too far off the beaten path, but we're learning more and more how important our childhoods are to us and how they form us.
For sure.
And especially if we've had a trauma
at some
point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That
really impacts us.
For sure.
It really does. As adults,
it really, really does.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise. I also come from divorced parents, and it doesn't surprise me at all that all of the relationships that I've ever been in, I've sought out, like, one of my main criteria are men who come from a stable, family-oriented life. Whether or not their parents were still together wasn't necessarily as important to me as just knowing that they had grown up in a very stable environment and, you know, had a family relationship that was still healthy and vibrant. And so Alex was, he really fit them. I mean, as evidence by all of us moving to where you now live in Athens, we're all over the country. And then for all of us to kind of move here to, for everyone to be together, I think was
Yes,
totally.
Clear indication that the family is strong.
And I will just share this. This is our very first episode, and many of you may know that I'm out on social media under a different channel, Styled a Certain Age. But when I moved to Athens, and my my late husband was still alive when Mac and I moved here in 2015, I never in a million years dreamed that I would have my family live close by. I have two sons that live here in Athens and then one that lives in Atlanta. God has been so good. I'm so blessed and so thankful. And so we really do get to, you know, bust that myth that mothers-in-law are not necessarily monsters-in-law, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, which is really, really great. So do you think we've covered everything, ladies, today in romance? Any other questions that you have?
I think we covered it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then stay tuned. As I said, this is our inaugural episode of Message from Mom. So stay tuned because we're going to drop these every week. And as I said in the tagline, we're going to bust that myth about monster-in-laws.